Every time we sing this song, I think about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that Jesus told her if she knew who she was talking to, he'd give her water that from her belly would flow rivers of water that she would never be thirsty again. That's it, what this song is about. The Gettys wrote this song. It's called Living Water.
Right. I'm gonna sing, okay? No, not hardly. Well, it's a good crowd here today. Thank you for coming to church. If you're a member of this church, you ought to be here every 3 times a week. And if you're not a member, you can come 3 times a week, okay? I got to say, when I come back from the Vietnam War, the guy on the flight line began to talk to me, 22 years of age. I was lost. Loss is a goose, as the saying goes. I didn't know Christ as my personal Savior. If I died, I didn't know He'd go to heaven. My life was filled with sports. That's what I did. Pretty decent at it. And I sort of eat up with it. But got married, and we had twin boys, and the military got me. And then when I came back again, a guy on the flight line began to talk to him and tell me about this guy named Jesus. I didn't know about him. I didn't know he died for me. I didn't know he shed his blood for me. Didn't know any of that. But I got to go to the church about this size right here and had a preacher's name. His name was Robert E. Lee. That was his name. He was a general. A real, really good preacher, a good pastor, but he loved people. The way you gain people, you love people. You don't tolerate their sin. That's what the world does out here. We stand against sin, make no apology for it. But you still love people, no matter what they're involved in, no matter who they are, no matter who color they are. Jesus died for people. But back in those days, you'd come to church and people would invite you out to eat. To their house. We don't do that no more. And when you're in the military, you go eat at anybody's house because you're broke. So I'd go to church and invite me over to the house there and they'd watch football. They talked about this man named Jesus. Every one of them. Every time I'd go out to eat with them, and at that time we just had Todd and Troy, the twins. I kept talking about this guy named Jesus. And then there's a guy in the church, his name was Ben O'Neill. Ben O'Neill had one tooth in his head. And I remember when I pulled up in the driveway in the parking spot of that church, I had a 1957 Ford. And I remember rolling that window down. Y'all are sissies now. Y'all don't have to roll them down. But anyway, I use them too now. But I remember him coming up to my window, putting his hand right there at my window as I was rolling it down, smiling, had one tooth in his head, and he said, "Come into church, young man." And I met people who were real. I met people who loved people, cared about people. I'm going to preach a message this morning. Is your heart fixed? Is your heart fixed? Do you have a fixed heart for God? Do you waver? Sometimes it's fixed for God, sometimes it's fixed for you. America's problem today is everybody's fixed on themselves. The key to life is losing yourself and putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you lose yourself, God can use you. I went back to college when I was 27 years of age. I already been to college. Went back to Bible school. I didn't know what God had for my life. I didn't know anything about that. I worked for Kraft Food Company. I'd been to college and went to work for Kraft. And how did I know at 27 years of age God was going to call me to go down to Tennessee Temple? I went down there with no calling. I just went down there because God impressed in my heart that you need to set yourself aside and study the Bible and study what they gave us there. How did I know what God had planned for me? But I fixed my heart at it. I worked 3 jobs. People are lazy today. I don't know how I did it. To be honest with you, I don't know how I did it because I worked three jobs and had the boy and had them in a Christian school. But I knew my heart was fixed. I made all state, all this in sports. But let me tell you why I did that. My heart was fixed. It was on it. And I knew if I go to college, the only way I go to college, I don't have to win a scholarship because my daddy couldn't afford it. See, I don't know how your heart is fixed. If it's fixed, you'll be back tonight. Love you. Not being hard on you. And there's some people who've got priorities that they have to do. And you know, we understand things like that. But to lay around and watch football games, is your heart fixed? You're doing what you want to do. Everybody in this building is. You're doing what you want to do. I just happen to choose I like to be in church. You do that. You choose to read your Bible daily or you choose not to read your Bible. Nobody makes you. It's your choice. But the way you're going to get to know God is through His Word. That's why we have Sunday school. Because we study the Word. And it's the Word that fixes your heart. You won't waver. What would you do if you're going to die for your faith? They come up and say, deny Christ or you die. Would you? Not with a fixed heart, you won't. But if your heart is fixed, because better is heaven than here. My wife just went to be with the Lord November the 8th. We've been married 51 years. I miss her greatly. Because she was a vital, vital part of my life. Was my life. Good lady. Raised three children while I traveled to help other people. Helped our grandchildren. Why I traveled to help other people. Not one time did my wife stand at the door of our house and say, don't go this week. Not one time. Not one time did she discourage me, for my heart is fixed on evangelism and trying to get people saved and trying to get people to live a godly life. Not one time. See, your heart's got to be fixed. Your heart's got to be fixed. Is yours fixed? Is your heart fixed? Our number one priority is God. He'll supply your need. If you'll learn the joy of tithing your money, God will take care of you. But how many people, their heart's not fixed on that? I make this money. It's my money. No, it's not your money. It's God's money. Let Him orchestrate it for you. And He has in my life, I'm telling y'all, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on Him, and I hope I'm exalting Christ there. But God will take care of every avenue of your life. I've had people give me cars. I don't need one now because I got a Chevrolet truck, and it always runs. Amen? Okay, all right, I just want to make sure where I was, you know. But see, God, you're His child. He loves you. He loves you so much He died for you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to surprise you. He wants to take care of you. Don't wait till you get older then cry out for God to help you with your health. Ask Him. Ask Him. I know my health will fail. 72 years of age, I still can go, still can drive, still can see. They don't think I can think, but I can. Because, see, when you fix your heart, and your heart's fixed, that's going to be your desires. But our hearts ought to be fixed upon the Lord. And then He guides you. Then He supplies for you. Then He takes care of you. And you're going to be a contented person in a mixed up world. But being a contented person in a mixed up world, people's going to ask you, what do you have? You're different. You're different. You're not like us. I went to work for Kraft Food Company after I graduated from community college. I eventually graduated from Tennessee Temple. But
I was working for Kraft Food Company. It was 12 guys that was on the sales team. I was the only person that didn't drink. Everybody else drank. If you go to a Pizza Hut to have a business meeting, they'd always have to drink. And I told them, I said, when I got the job, I said, I'll never drink for you. I don't smoke. I don't do none of that. I said, I'm not the greatest guy, but I said, I'll never drink with you. Don't ever ask me. But I'll make you money. And I remember one time sitting in a pizza place, they had a sales meeting. One of them looked at me and said, Jim, don't you want a beer? I said, I don't drink slop. Man, you put me in my place, and I'll just tell you what I think about it. If you fix your heart, teenager, you won't get on drugs. You'll wait till you get married before you touch somebody. If your heart's fixed. No matter who it is. You won't be smoking or doping or doing all the things the world's doing. Because your heart's fixed. Listen to this pastor. Listen to your Sunday school teacher. Listen to your good mom and dad who have the best interest as you and serving God. If you've never fixed your heart, may this be the day that you fix your heart. God saved you. He can't get no more of you in salvation. However, he can use what you got, and that's that old body. I've been reading on missions lately. I think I'll go to the Philippines my next 75 years, okay? Man's been stirring my heart about missions and stirring my heart about people because I was stationed in the Philippines and talking about the Philippines and people like that. And my daughter and David adopted two girls from China. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. If your heart is fixed on serving God, it's going to be doors open in your life you never dreamed, you never thought about. See, God wants to use you. Start in your home first. Start in your workplace. But most importantly, start with you. Because God uses individuals. That's what he uses. And you say, well, I'm just not there, Brother Clark. Well, he'll help you get there. Let me read you this verse. You don't need to turn to it. There's a lot of different verses I could give you, but let me just read this one. You don't have to turn to it. In Psalms 57:7, it says, my heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed, and I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psalmery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Fix your heart. You're going to have your heart broken in many different ways. My heart's been broken. And nothing like people breaking your heart. I hate to be used. I hate somebody to use me or say something that's not true. But that's the world. That's the devil. Some people get mad at their own in-laws or get mad at somebody they neighbor-wise. Why? If your heart is fixed on the Lord, God sends you people. They may disagree with you, but you can help them. See how you can help them. See what you can do for them. Now I want to give you a few things on this about your heart being fixed and how you can keep your heart fixed. First of all, keep your focus right. I personally can't tell y'all what to do. I'm not here to try to cram something down. But I wanted to be in church, so I didn't take a job where I worked on Sunday. Now that's me personally. I'm not telling you what to do. But you got to get your focus. You want me to tell you how you be a good football player? Keep your focus. I believe Clemson last night kept their focus. No, first time you've ever shouted, and it's over football. Can you believe that? Woman shouting over football. I tell you what. But I was born 3 miles from Clemson. I won't say anything beyond that, okay? But keep your focus. If you get afraid, the devil's going to shake you. Well, here I am. I'm 30 years of age. I'm not married yet. Keep your focus. See, it's all about focus, and you keep your focus there. How God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says this. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. And Proverbs 4, verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Matthew 6 and verse number 33, familiar verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, listen, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Young people, keep your eyes on Christ. He can supply for you. He can take care of you. Don't lose your focus. Mom and dad, what happens too many times, you get a little older, next thing they lose their focus. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a missionary. I want to do this and then go to school and that. Then you lose your focus because you get your focus on somebody else. And so don't lose your focus. In Psalms chapter 1, really 1 through 6, but I'm just going to give you one of the verses there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So God's got a good a way to do it. The way you do it, you keep your focus on Christ, you live a godly life, and you can be an instrument. I had a man come in with me. I'm not bragging on myself, please. I'm just using an illustration. I had a man one time ask, how do you smile all the time? Every time I see you, you're smiling. I said, well, I got big teeth. They're still mine. See, folks, you could get so sidetracked. Don't be a TV addict. Don't be a computer addict. If you want to be an addict, get the old King James Bible and let that be your source. Read that more than you read anything else. Study that more than you study anything else. Put your whole life into it. See, you lose your focus. How many people, and I'm not bragging this one, but I'm just saying to you, Brother Randy knows this, how many preachers have lost their focus? God didn't bring us here as a preacher to win, to save the world. As far as the world, the material. God put us here to win souls for Christ. And keep people from going to hell. Don't lose your focus. Why are these good people back there with nurseries? And why are these good people back there with teaching Sunday school? And I saw everybody going to their classes at different ages. Why do we do that? We want to keep our focus. That's what the institution of the church is. It's not a dance hall. It's not a rock music performance. Somebody say amen right there. That's not what church is about. You lose your focus. And when you lose your focus, you can go any direction that the old flesh wants. And now you got churches, it's nothing but fleshly. And people come in fleshly. And they go do it out there. And so please, I beg you, don't lose your focus. If you don't have something focused in on your life, I'm praying that you would. If you're not saved this morning, I'm praying that you would. But another thing that can happen to help you to, my heart is fixed, you occupy until he comes. Do you know Jesus could come today? Right now. And if you're not saved, you're not going. It's just that plain. Well, I'm not sure, Brother Clark, that I'm ready to go. Well, I tell you what, the Bible can give you assurance. I can tell you about assurance, but I can't be the one who changes your heart. It's God through his word. It's his word. Why is everybody deviating from the word? Now you got places Don't even want to have a Bible in it. No, it's the Word that changes a person's heart. And you occupy till He comes, because He promised us He would come. In Luke 19, verse number 13 says this, "And He called His servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come." So we're occupying. This is what we're supposed to do. They met in the New Testament. They met daily. How would you like to come to church every night? Some people would not fit their schedule around that. Some people would not. They just rebel against it. But suppose we did. He says occupy. Now, occupy takes in a big scope. Matter of fact, you can preach a lot about that, how to occupy on this earth. And so God wants us to do that. And God is telling us that. But let me say number three about that. My heart is fixed. Untold millions are called for help. Untold millions. Our mission here, I work for Kraft Food Company, but my mission was to try to help those men, 12 salesmen I worked with. And then I'd go out on Thursday night with our church and do that. Then I'd run a bus ministry, a bus, and we'd go pick up people and bring them on Sunday. See, God wants us to realize people are dying and going to hell every day. It is your job and my job and what God wants us to do. We're supposed to occupy until He does come. And occupy means you get out there, and then there's untold millions that are to motivate us to go out there. If you want some good books, there's a lot of good books on telling you how to witness to people. Read. I've always heard this said, readers are leaders. Well, I hate reading. Well, you just told me who you are. Well, I can't read. Well, I used to, in South Carolina, I was taught sight reading. Jane hit the ball. I didn't know nothing about phonics. I didn't know about sounding out stuff. I never did that. You probably can tell it already. I sort of grab words and go with them. But see, there's untold millions. Somebody needs to go to China. I was stationed in the Philippines. If I was a foreign missionary, that's where I'd go. Because you walk out the gates of the military base, and there's a bunch of, excuse the expression, this is not cursing, but there's a bunch of hell holes that all the military people go, not all, but people like I did. Wouldn't it have been something, Brother Randy, if we'd have had somebody standing on the gate there passing out tracts? Do you know when I was a teenager in high school, or when my whole career, if you want to say career, but the whole 12 years of school, not one person gave me a gospel tract? They used to watch me play football. They used to come out there and put their hand on my shoulder pad and said, "Good work, young man." But nobody invited me to church. I could have died and went to hell. They didn't care, but they'd come watch you play football. See, that's what God is telling us, and God is wanting us. If your heart is fixed and you'll be talking to people, you're occupying until it comes, then you realize how many untold millions they are. You know what motivates me, helps me to get up early, helps me to go? Because I can tell somebody that day about Jesus. That's why He's doing that. That's why He's left me here. And if there's somebody here again, I bring this to your attention. If you're not saved, get it nailed down. Just pastors, some of these good people, men and women in this church would help you. If you died right now, you don't know you'd go to heaven. There's a way that you can know it. I know according to the scriptures, and that's what I rely on. I've done what it said, so I'm going to go to heaven. I know that. That's what I base it on. Not some feeling. Some people are messed up. Some people believe that if you're baptized, you're going to heaven. No, baptism is just a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. It don't have anything to do with salvation. As far as getting saved. But it's a proof to people that it's just the picture. The death, the burial, and resurrection, what you've done in your life, what I've done in my life. That's all it's there. But there's some group out here that's, they base their whole thing. You've got to do some works. Works never saved anybody. I just read a book by John R. Rice on prayer, and I just read another book called It Is Finished. And Jesus, when He said on the cross, It is finished. No more lambs had to be slain. He was the lamb. He shed his blood just for you. And if you won't accept Jesus Christ and all these atheistic countries and everything like that, worship some high person up there. No, you don't do that. They're going to die and go to hell. So why don't you go tell them? And now Americans becoming sort of heathen. We need to be witnessing right here. Let me say this about that. My heart is fixed. How God wants to do that. Occupy till he comes. Untold millions are calling for help. And don't lose your focus. But here's something you need to do. Salvation is first, and your surrender, your body, is second. Salvation's first. Get your salvation. Walk down the aisle, or could be a gospel track. You could possibly hear some good preacher on TV or something like that preaches the truth. Not this showmanship, but preaches the truth and tell you you're a sinner. And tells you that Jesus died for your sins. And what God is doing, God is taking that and God is trying to help us. Listen to this. It says, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So God is wanting you to repent of your sins. God is wanting you to realize that he is pure. And the only way that I'm going to get to heaven is through his blood that makes me a candidate to go to heaven one day in that. Salvation is like the act of saving. It's the preservation from destruction, danger, how anybody would turn their face on going to hell. I don't understand that. Do you believe there's a literal fire? I do. Do you believe people are going there? I do. Do you believe there's a heaven? I know there's a heaven. And one day we'll get to go there. But how many people have been rolled down here? They're not there. There's no second chance. There's no such place that you go to and you stay there and then later that you go to hell, you go to hell. So God is trying to show us that salvation is real. Salvation is deliverance from the enemies. It's victory. And Moses said unto the people in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The hardest thing that is for a preacher to do is preach a funeral knowing that person's in hell. So then what you try to do, you try to show people who are sitting out there. I remember going to a hospital. Somebody asked me to go see this man at, in the hospital. And I got there and walked in there, and he was by himself. And I walked over to the bed, and I didn't know him. I introduced myself and told him a friend of yours wanted me to come by. And I said, sir, you got cancer. And I said, you're dying. They told you you're going to die. I said, are you saved? And this is what he said. He said, you go to H-E-L-L. But he wouldn't let go of my hand. I had his hand. He didn't throw that away. I said, sir, I don't think you heard me right. I'm a preacher. I'm trying to help you, man. He said, you go to H-E-L-L. I said, it sounds like you can't talk too well. I tell you what you do. Just let me talk. And through memory, I gave him the plan of salvation. That cussing man realized he was a sinner, and he got saved. See, Salvation is what everybody in the world needs. That's why I walked forward on a Wednesday night, gave my hand to my pastor, and said, I want God to use my life. I want God to use my life. And for 41 years, I've had the joy to tell people the salvation story. I don't regret any of it. I don't regret any long mile. I've then traveled 1.7 million miles in a car all these years. I don't regret none of it. And still at 72 years of age, I still love to tell people, you can come and God will save you. Because that's what you need. That's what everybody's searching for. Dope heads, if they're looking for a high. Well, I don't dope, but I stay pretty high. Amen? Just hooked on Jesus. Hooked on the right thing. And drive a Chevrolet truck. Can't beat it. Y'all go all buy a Chevrolet truck next time. Salvation. I was in Huntington Pass, South Carolina. I know y'all know where that is, a town of about 1,000. Knocked on the door. The guy come to the door and opened it. It was a guy from the church. He said, I knew you'd come to see me. I was down there preaching revival during the day. I'd go out and knock on some doors, and I knocked on the door. I didn't know he lived there. But let me tell you, before I knocked on the door, he opened it. He said, I've been waiting on you because I knew you'd tell me how to be saved. Are you saved this morning? I hope you're not playing church. And see, you keep your focus. You keep your focus. What's ruling America? I tell you what's ruling America. She's gotten away from God. They've gotten away from it. Man, it used to be everybody went to church. And there were gospel preaching churches. I mean, people got saved. And they were baptized in a pond. Over and over. And thank God right over here where you're sitting, sister. My grandma used to sit there. And my grandma Swaney, I believe she prayed for me. And my grandma Swaney would raise her hand and talk about God. She'd raise her other little hand. She'd stand up. She'd shout a little bit. I didn't know anything that she was doing. I didn't know what she was doing, but it was the gladness in her heart. But let me tell you something about the Clarks and Swainis. Anybody needed advice or something, guess who they went to, Randy? Because she was real. She was real. How about you? Are you real? Are you? Do you act a different way when you leave the church? Do you slip? Let me tell you how you can judge yourself. You are who you are when you're alone. That's who you are. Would you like anybody to check in your past or yesterday? First thing I do when I go to a motel room, I cover the TV with a towel. I can't tell you how to live. Only God can do that. And he has a manual. And that manual can help you. But the first thing you got to do, you got to fix your heart. That'll help you get up at 5:30 in the morning. That'll help you to go to midnight. That'll help you to get in your car and drive 6 hours and preach and turn around and drive 6 hours back. That'll help you. When your heart is fixed, I love what I do. Thank the Lord I can get up. How about you? Won't you fix your heart this morning? Won't you determine in your life, I'm gonna do my very best to fix my heart on Christ. I'm going to keep my focus. You're here on Sunday morning. That's wonderful. That's excellent. I appreciate that all the way. So God is wanting you. You have a hobby, your heart's fixed. You don't mind doing that. I like to play golf now and then. Getting a little weaker, but I can still hit at it. But that's not my life. And so God is trying to help you, and God wants to issue. In Psalms 57:7, I say this again. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. That's where it is. And so when you're like that and how dark it can get, the first thing that when my wife died, Todd and Troy and Carrie and I were right there with her. She was at home when she took her last breath. It was like she was reaching for something. She was just reaching out there. I'm glad my heart was fixed on her for 51 years. Yeah. Got to have your heart fixed, or you won't do it. November 30th, I celebrated my 50th year of being saved. Got to go down to the church where I got saved. Got to kneel to the spot where I got saved. I'm glad my heart was fixed. I'm not a special person. I'm just an old country boy from a two-room house as a boy. And me and my three brothers slept in the same bed. But I fixed my heart. And hopefully, I can go out with a fixed heart. Amen. So can you. And no matter your status, no matter who you are, God loves you. My daughter, I said a while ago, her and her husband David, they live in Richmond. They live in Mosley. Maybe you know where that is. If it wasn't for a GPS, I'd never find Mosley. I mostly get lost. But they've adopted two girls from China. Adopted one, and 2 years later adopted another. Esther and Mia. And the reason they adopted them from China, she said this, Daddy, we wanted to adopt somebody, girls, from a communist country and somebody who has health issues. And Daddy, we can bring them here. And Daddy, we can get her saved. And we can get the medical treatment to cure them. Wow. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Another greater reward than we've gotten. That little girl say Pop. She says Pop. Sort of Chinese accent. Sweet little girl, they hug my neck and I'm a Pop now. See, when your heart is fixed, hard to break you. And God opens up doors for you. Is there somebody here with a decision in your heart that you've got to make about a job or a move or something? Well, if your heart's fixed, you won't miss it. Boy, this covers so many areas, folks, if you just let your heart be. My heart is fixed. And you won't be, as we say down south, wishy-washy. You won't be that. Let's bow our heads, please. Sister, would you come to the piano? Is your heart fixed this morning? There's somebody that needs to come to the altar and pray and say, God, fix my heart to where I can just trust in you greater. How many people here this morning, sister, as you're playing? We say, Brother Clark, it's no doubt in my heart. I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not going to come to you, but I'm going to pray with you. Is there somebody here, or how many here this morning, would raise your hand and say, Brother Clark, I know I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up real high? I know Christ is my Savior. Thank you very much. Thank you. Put it down. Is there somebody here this morning say, Brother Clark, I don't know that my heart's fixed. I don't know if I've been saved. But I'll let you pray for me. I promise you, I'm not going to come to you. God, the Holy Spirit does that. Is there somebody here this morning that slipped your hand out and said, Brother Clark, pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone? Anyone?
Whatever you're doing for God, whatever He's placed your heart, or where He's placed your heart, let it be fixed. Let it stay. Get up in the morning thinking about it. Go to bed at night thinking about it. Think about it. Your heart's fixed on your mate? Well, fix your heart on God. Is anybody here this morning say, Preacher, I do have a special prayer request. Would you let me pray for you? Anyone? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 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 Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Anybody else? You know, the beautiful thing about it, God can answer all our prayers at the same time. Wow. What a God. What a wonderful God. What a magnificent God. What an eternal God. Wow. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Help us all to fix our heart on you, not something else, not some substitute. Lord, you saw people's hand today. They got a prayer request. I'm glad that you can solve it. I'm glad you already know the answer. You already know the outcome. So help them make the right choices, Lord. We thank you for that. Help Brother Randy. Help him with his cough. Help Miss Vicky. Lord, help each other in this room. Might be some parent here's got some wayward children. Lord, get their heart fixed. Might be a mate in here's got a mate that not in church, don't want to serve God. Lord, change our heart. Lord, help us to fix our heart. Help us this afternoon rest, come back to church. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.